When I heard the theme for this year, my first thought was, well, what about our singles? And when I was asked to teach the auditorium class on marriage, my first thought was, well, what about our singles? Yet I think when our elders decided on the theme this year, they had an understanding about home that maybe oftentimes is not expressed as greatly as it ought to be. And that is, a home can be made up of any number of people. And so there are times when you think about what we've called the traditional home of a man and woman and two or three children. Or you might think of a home where a single parent is raising children. Or you might think of a home where you've got parents and children and grandparents living there. And so there's a number of makeups, but also it should be well understood that there are times when a home is made of one person. And when we think of that, we need to understand that whether there's five or one in a house, that home is must be dedicated to serving the Lord. And so this morning, what I'd like to do is to talk to those who are single. Now, when we get toward the end of the lesson, there's going to be plenty for all of us, no matter our marital state, to understand. But this morning, I want to encourage those who are single and of age to be out on your own, to think about your relationship with God in the aspect of the home and family discussions that we've been having this year. And to understand the fact that we mentioned earlier, that no matter how many are in the home, we are called on to serve the Lord. Now, we might think about this, first of all, from the standpoint of why one is single. And again, for that, there's a number of answers. There are times when the right person just simply has not come along. Maybe here's someone and getting on up, 25, 30, 35, still looking for that right person to come along. There are occasions where family obligations may keep someone single. Maybe there's parents who are just in very dire need of physical help and provisions, and so someone just decides that they'll remain single for that purpose. Or maybe it's someone whose personality is just conducive to being alone. That it's not that the right person isn't out there, it's just a simple fact that a single life is what's enjoyed. And maybe there are times, even as the Lord describes in Matthew 19:12, where someone just says, I'm going to remain single so that I can dedicate myself fully to the Lord. I don't know in Corinth which of those situations might have been there. But there was a group of people who were single. And as the Apostle Paul wrote to them, he said, I want to tell you some things about being single. And so whatever that situation might have been, he said, by the fact that things are about to happen as I'm going to describe, you may want to remain in the condition that you're in. In fact, in chapter 7, verses 26 through 27, he talks about what's going to happen. He says, I think that in view of the present distress, it is good for a person to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be free. Are you free from a wife? Do not seek a wife. Whatever that situation was, whether persecution, which is likely, Paul is saying, if you are single, it does you well to remain in that condition. And what follows this is probably the most we find in one place within the Bible about living as a single Christian. And so what I'd like to do here in the first part of our lesson this morning is to talk about what Paul said. So if you've got your Bibles, go ahead on over to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And we're going to look at two or three verses here that Paul is directing specifically to those Christians who were not married. As we look at verse 32, first of all, we find that the apostle is going to make a point to them, and he says that when you are unmarried, you are unburdened with certain anxieties. So verse 32, he says, I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. Now, right off the bat, we need to make a point here. This is not saying that the unmarried are free from any anxieties whatsoever. What he's saying, though, is that you are free from those that come with being married, with having a family. So verse 33, he elaborates on that, and he says, but the married man is anxious about the worldly things, how to please his wife. So the apostle's point in this is simply, look, if you're married and you've got kids, your loyalties are divided in several good but divided directions. You're concerned about your spouse. You're concerned about your children. You're concerned about that family unit. So whatever that distress may have been, Paul is saying that a married man is going to be thinking a whole lot about his family. How is this impacting my wife? How is this going to impact my children? As I think about that verse, I think back to what the Lord told the prophet Jeremiah. I know several of you are studying that right now. And so the prophet Jeremiah was told this concerning marriage in chapter 16. The Lord said, "You shall not take a wife, nor shall you have sons or daughters in this place." And then he offers the explanation. "For thus says the Lord concerning the sons and daughters who are born in this place, and concerning the mothers who bore them and the fathers who fathered them in this land, they shall die of deadly diseases. They shall not be lamented, nor shall they be buried. They shall be as dung on the surface of the ground. They shall perish by the sword and by famine, and their dead bodies shall be food for the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Now that's a fairly powerful passage. And there's a couple of implications here that God is telling Jeremiah, look, you don't want to bring a family into this environment where destruction is going to come. But also in his work as a prophet, the Lord is saying to him, I don't want you to be distracted. The things that are about to happen are going to be of great concern to family people. What's going to happen to my wife? What's going to become of my children? And the grieving that would go along with the destruction that's coming. And so very similar to what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the Lord is saying to Jeremiah in simply saying, stay out of this situation. Don't get involved in something that's going to be a distraction to your loyalties. So with that in mind, we understand that those first century Christians had a specific situation in which Paul was directing them. So our question then is, what's the application that we can make? As we look at the words to these Christians who lived so long ago, and as we look at our situation here in 2017, and for those who are single, the question then becomes, what do I need to learn from this passage? Well, I think there's several good points that we can gain from that. The first of all is, family concerns are just simply not an issue for someone who's single. Ask any married person, ask any parent, ask them how concerned they are about their family. And I think you're going to get a very interesting response. You may have a wife who says, well, I spend a lot of time in great concern over my husband. He's on the road a lot. He has to drive a lot. Or you ask parents about their kids. Well, you know, we're just so concerned when they're out at night. And we tell them, you know, you keep your phone right there and you text me if there's any problem. Not while you're driving, by the way. But if there's any problem, you text me and you let me know and I'll be right there. Well, anyone who is the recipient of that concern should feel very blessed that there are people who do show a lot of thought for them. But if you think about someone who is single, those concerns simply are not a part of life. Those concerns that are there for someone are simply not going to be present for someone who's single. So, because of that, the apostle goes further and he says, here are the things then in which you can concern yourself. And one of those is, look, if you're single, you can have this time for undivided attention to spiritual things. Again, when you've got a family, you're concerned about the spiritual status of your spouse. You're concerned about the spiritual status of your children. If you've got a spouse that's unfaithful to the Lord, there's a lot of concern there. Or if you've got children who are coming of age and they're about to start making those decisions about their own spiritual life, there's a lot of concern there. The apostle tells the Corinthians, and I think us as well, he says, look, because you don't have to be concerned about those things, you work on making sure you are the strongest person you can be. And specifically, he brings out two categories. On down in verse 34, he talks about, first of all, the holiness in body, the purity that's to be associated with a person of God. And we're going to talk more about that here in just a minute. And then he says, you can give holiness in spirit. Your undivided loyalty means that in this distress that's occurring, you can focus on how you can grow and how you can remain strong. Now again, there's nothing wrong with concern for a spouse. There's nothing wrong with concern for a children. But someone who is in the situation of being single, Paul is saying, use that to your great advantage, that you can grow and become what God desires for you to be as a worker within His kingdom. Now, Paul elaborates a little bit more on that idea. When he says the unmarried are not unburdened with anxieties, he says the unmarried are also free to promote the cause of the Lord. I'm backing up just a little bit in verse 34. When he says, and his interests are divided, talking about the married man, and the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. Let's think about that word anxious for a minute, because we use that in a lot of different ways. We can use it sometimes in the idea of excitement. I'm just so anxious to see that person. And sometimes we use it almost synonymously with worry. I'm very anxious over these things. As Paul uses the term here, it's actually the idea of showing care for it, and the context bears that out. That the married person is showing great care for his family, the apostle says to the single man or woman, you've got the opportunity to show that great care for the service of the Lord. As you think about your strength, as you think about that undivided loyalty to the Lord, that means that you've got the opportunity then to show goodness for the cause of God. So, in realistic terms, what does that mean? We certainly don't want to leave this in just a theoretical atmosphere. So what does that specifically mean for a young adult or even an older adult who is single for whatever reason? Well, one thing is it gives the opportunity for much greater financial generosity. I know sometimes when we're just beginning, we're really working to make ends meet. And so maybe you've got someone who's a young single Christian struggling. But yet anymore, that's not always the case. There are times when young men and women will get a job right out of college where they're making a very good income. So what does that mean concerning their freedom to pursue the cares of the Lord, to show great care? It means there's the opportunity there for great financial generosity. That when times come along, whereas you've got a man or woman who's married and is paying for children's doctor bills and a place to live for them and clothing and such, those kinds of things aren't dividing the loyalty. That means that there's this opportunity to be very generous in the Lord's service. I think as well that there's also time to travel for evangelism. We don't really encourage our single folks in this manner. But over the years, I have seen situations like that that are just so tremendous. I think several years ago of a young lady I knew who quit her job and she moved to a foreign land to help some families there who were working in the spreading of the gospel. What a tremendous example that she said, look, I'm at a state in my life, nobody's depending on me financially, I don't have to supply money for this or that, I've got time. And she went and did very good work there. And even if that's not the case, there's time that trips can be taken to build up saints, that there's not working around the schedule of a spouse or a family. The time there can be given to the Lord for His good. And so these families that are preaching and teaching, while you may not can just turn loose and move, certainly there's opportunity to go and to spend time and to build those families up and to help them in their work. I remember another couple of women, I didn't know them personally, but knew of their story. Both of them single, both of them traveling nurses. And oftentimes what they would do is arrange where they could be in these places, supporting themselves with their job, but making sure they're located where there's a group of Christians there who could really use them and encourage, they could encourage them in the work. That's what we're talking about. That as we think about these years of being single, we're free to promote the cause of the Lord. We're free to work in helping in that cause. So with those things in mind, the positive side of that, I want us to turn now for just a few minutes and talk about things specifically that are challenging. Sometimes these great things cannot be accomplished because a single Christian is allowing some of the problems very unique and specific to that situation in life to get him down or her down. And of course, I think we would have to state that perhaps the most obvious of these is dealing with the idea of loneliness. So what does a Christian do? Single, hasn't found a companion in marriage yet? To keep from allowing this to get him or her into this depressed state where the work of the Lord can't be given full attention. I don't know that I've got really all the answers to that. But first of all, it's just simply stating the problem. It's going to vary. But there's going to be a certain amount of loneliness there. When God created woman, he said it was for the companionship of man. And so when a man and woman are not in a marriage, part of that's going to be missing no matter what we do. Now, I know a lot of single Christians who it's hard-pressed to believe they're very lonely because of the time they spend with others and very social and active in those ways. Yet, surely, in everyone's life, there's going to be this point. David was not a single man, for certain. Yet, I think he knew this kind of loneliness that we're talking about here when he was on the run. And chapter 25 of Psalms, verse 16, this is what he says. He says, "Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted." I can only imagine what he must have experienced as he was on the run those years when Saul was after him and it didn't seem like he had really any close friends or people who would stick with him. And so he turns to the Lord and he says, I feel this way. And certainly that can be a problem for someone who goes home to an empty house. Sometimes an empty house is the most deafening noise one can have. So what's to be done? Well, I think it's doing what the psalmists tell us to do. That in these situations where loneliness is inevitable, God needs to be looked upon as a real answer in this. Again, let's look in the book here to chapter 68 this time, where the psalmist writes about God that he is father of the fatherless and protector of widows, is God in his holy habitation. And then this line, God settles the solitary in a home. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a parched land. If a spouse isn't there, there's nothing that can be done on earth to satisfy the loneliness that results from that. That's a unique situation, yet God says, turn to me. I can provide in this. I can help in this. And so I would encourage someone who is single, who is struggling with the ideas of loneliness, in the same way I would encourage someone who's married and dealing with marital problems, spend a great deal of time in prayer about this. Pour your heart out to God. He knows what's going on anyway. And this helps you to better understand that He is in the position where He can care for you. Now, will that always mean leading you to a spouse? I can't answer that for God. That's His business. But what I can know is this, and what I can say, is that God is going to provide what's necessary. He's made that promise to His children. And thus, if I'm a single Christian, I don't need to let loneliness become something that's going to keep me from being anxious about the things of God, of keeping me from doing the work that God has called on me to do. I think as well another challenge that we have in this point is purity. Paul has dealt with this situation in a number of places and in this passage that we're looking at. He says to us that holiness in body is paramount. And I realize that this is a situation that can happen to us regardless of our marital status. Yet, when we think about being single, we do not have that God-given approval to satisfy the feelings that we have. And so, what someone who is single must do is to make sure, first of all, just as the Apostle Paul, they're fully aware and acknowledge and don't lie to themselves about it, that this is a challenge. That this is something that can be a difficulty. I'm going back to verse 2 in chapter 7 where Paul says, "But because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband." Paul says here, look, I understand. I understand what can happen. And if you're having great struggles with that, in this context, he says, if you can find a marriage partner, do so. But what about the person who is not married, either because he or she's not found the right person or has just chosen that particular life? First of all, acknowledge the serious danger that's here. And then understand that in being single, there are things that can happen that may lend itself to this, even more so than when married. And that's putting oneself in a situation that can weaken self-control. Because someone is single, there's really not a check in place there many times. And there's not someone who's perhaps looking over the shoulder as a parent might with a child, or making sure things are remaining faithful as a husband or wife. And so I think it's very easy at times for single Christians to let down their guard when it comes to something like pornography. No one's checking the websites. Nobody's looking at the computer to see what's being looked at and what sites are being visited. We think as well, living alone gives the opportunity to have people into one's home, and nobody else knows that, and that can lead to some very difficult situations. So when I am single, I must understand that there is a great need to put up my guard and to maintain that self-control about what I'm looking at and who I'm with and where I am when I'm with someone. And to remember those works of the flesh that God says we must never give into. You remember the first three? Right off the bat that the apostle gives? Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality. All of these relating to those things of satisfaction, of those desires of the flesh. He's saying do not give into them. Only in a God-given situation should these things be satisfied. And thus, like loneliness, purity must be a consideration. As well, there are times perhaps when selfishness can be a problem. What I mean by that is, when you're married, a lot of times it's already decided where your money's going. I realize materialism can be a problem in any situation. Married couples, kids, families deal with it. But in a home of one, sometimes that can lead to an overindulgence, a satisfaction of the physical desires in a very different way of pursuing these things of materialism. And if we're not awfully careful, that feeling of loneliness can feed into that of saying, well, you know, I'm just a household of one, therefore I deserve these things. I ought to be able to do what I want to do. After all, it's my money and I don't have to share it. That's a very dangerous attitude, because that's what feeds into the sin of materialism. And thus, when I consider that, I must be very careful about those feelings and consider what the Lord has said. We return to Psalms once again, this time 119, where in verse 36 the writer says, "Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain." What we were talking about earlier, that's a real advantage to a single Christian. I can give my attention fully to the Lord's service. I can be financially generous in that cause. I don't allow myself to fall prey to satisfying every whim that comes along. James chapter 3, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice." Thus, no matter my situation, whether married or not, I understand the danger of selfishness. I understand that if married, it can tear a family apart. But I understand if single, it can lead me to have much too high of a view of my own comfort and to spend my money in ways that are really not God approved. Finally, this morning, I want to deal with one more problem that affects all of us. And that's what I've entitled congregational segregation. I think this can be a real problem if we're not very careful, because many times we see a divide that takes place, and for very understandable reasons. When a couple gets married and have children, they automatically begin thinking everyone's as interested in their children as they are. And so there's a lot of time spent at the dinner table talking about what the child did and how funny the child is and how smart the child is. And, you know, that's all well and good, but I can assure you if you're single, that gets a little monotonous after a while. And sometimes what happens is you begin to have this segregation that takes place. And this can be seen in lots of ways because we tend to want to be with the people who share in our same interest. So you got a little circle over here of Christians who are all singles. And you got a little circle over here of Christians who are married without children. And then you've got a circle of married with children. And then you've got a circle of married and children are out of the household. And what the danger of that is that the congregation becomes very divided into those groups. Not that there was any ill will, but just simply because there's not a sharing of interest. We have to be very careful about that. Because this is going to lead a congregation not to grow together as they ought. And when a congregation is a series of groups rather than a congregation of one, then really it's going to be very difficult to carry out those one another commands of love one another, bear one another's burdens, encourage one another, build one another up. How are we going to do that if we are not with everyone within that congregation? And thus, we're very careful about that. And going back to one of our earlier points, that will prevent in some ways that loneliness from being dealt with by those who can help if we are segregated into groups and not bearing that load, not bearing the burden that can create that loneliness. And therefore, what that means is that every member of the congregation must pay particular attention to one specific one another, and that's be hospitable to one another. And that hospitality should show no bounds. It should be open for everyone within the congregation. It is not that I'm simply inviting people into my home that I have all of these things in common. Now, that's nice and that's pleasant and that's fun and enjoyable. But that very much is limiting what God has told me to do. And so, if I am a single Christian, I don't give myself an out when it concerns hospitality. I don't say, well, because I'm single, I don't have any obligations. Oh, yes, I do. I'm to open my home up. And perhaps the gentleman more would say, well, you know, I can't cook, I can't host. Well, there's plenty of options there. It's not that we've got to impress everyone with culinary skills. It's not that we've got to show that we can do all of these things. It's providing the opportunity for spiritual community. And when marrieds with children have singles into their home, it's the understanding, I'm not going to talk about my kids the whole time. I'm not going to talk about things that will not be encouraging to this group and in fact may be a little discouraging to this group. And so when we have this healthy blend of hospitality being shown house to house and everyone's included and there's a good mixture going on, it is then that we can find a local church bearing those burdens as it should. A spiritual family must never, ever be spoken of in simply this idea that my spiritual family is single. My spiritual family are married with kids. My spiritual family are those who are retired. No. We speak of it in singularity only when it includes every one of us. And thus what we find in this is whether I am married or whether I am not married, I have a duty to my brethren. But the good thing is, when that duty is borne out, I'll be the one who's encouraged by it as well. So therefore, we understand that no matter what state we are in, there are going to be challenges. There's going to be difficulties. We've talked already this year about married couples with challenges and parents with challenges. We add to that list single Christians with challenges. But whatever the case, as Paul said, we remain steadfast in our dedication to God. And we do whatever we can to be the best we can be in His service, no matter where we are in our lives. So with all of these thoughts in mind, let me end by asking you a question. Are you a part of this spiritual family that we just talked about? I don't encourage you to become a part of that family simply for the blessings and enjoyment of fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. That's a really good perk. That's a really good secondary advantage. The reason you want to be a part of this family is because it makes you right with God. your Father in heaven, who wants you to be a part of the family. That's the reason. And so this morning, if you understand what it means to be a Christian, if you understand that in the waters of baptism, that's where your faith and the grace of God are coming together, that God will fulfill His promise to wash away your sins, then it's time to do that very thing, to become a part of this family that's on its road to heaven. If you've known that, but you've strayed, God says, I'll welcome you back as that loving Father in the parable of the prodigal son who's standing waiting. That's the Lord waiting for those who have messed up to come back to His family. This morning, whatever it takes to be right with Him, make sure that you are a faithful child of God.